This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Hybrid and make a didgeridoo.
A kadidgeridoo?
A kazidgeridoo.
A kazidgeridoo. A kazidgeridoo.
Didgerkazoo.
A kadidgeridoo.
Yes, well, we've had enough inventing new instruments that don't exist previously.
Until now.
Here on Free Talk Live. That's right, it's Free Talk Live, in case you're wondering what this nonsense is.
Hey, AI, create this new instrument. The kadidgeridoo.
There we go. Kadidgeridoo. That seems to sing. Rolls off the tongue effectively. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Kahuna.
And Richie Rich.
We've talked about all sorts of things. The anonymous bridge captain from the Maryland boat bridge thing. Nobody knows.
Ever so briefly.
Who it was. We've talked about the evil Easter bunny stomps on a man's trailer home and... we've talked about the horror film that made $666,666 on its opening night over in the UK. We talked about a book called Return of the Gods. We talked about hoity steak joints.
Ooh.
But now we have a number two story.
The number two story.
That's right. This from the BBC or the BBC.
Oh.
I just tried to pronounce it.
Not the BBC you're thinking of.
Yeah, it's not the big, it's the British.
British.
Okay. Broadcasting Company, apparently, is what that stands for.
The Big Broadcasting Company.
The Big British Broadcasting Company. The BBC.
The British Black Company.
The British Boat Company? What? Anyway, here's the headline.
Beer's the headline.
I wish beer was the headline. Here is the headline. Boat race. Oxford rowers criticize sewage levels in the River Thames.
Right before rowing into a bridge.
They do have a picture of one of these large, I'm going to call it a kayak. It's got 9 people per boat, and there's a couple, 2, 3 of them. They're rowing down, I assume, the River Thames.
One guy just yells out, stroke.
Yep.
The other one yells out, candy bar! Baby Ruth floating in the pool. That's no Baby Ruth! All right, here we go. University of Oxford rowers have criticized sewage levels in the Thames after losing the boat race to Cambridge. Oh, yeah. We lost because we couldn't row through crap.
I mean, their opponents were also rowing through crap.
You couldn't row like crap.
They would probably say that Cambridge's practice team was used to it already because of where they have to practice.
Home field advantage.
Yeah. You guys are used to rowing through crap.
High levels of E. coli have been found in the river where the universities race every year.
It's splashed by the guy in front.
You know, I'm old enough to remember just coli before it became digital and became E. coli.
Only were that easy.
Those were the days.
You know, like mail. You know, regular mail. And then, email, right?
Yep. Girlfriend, and then you got an e-girlfriend. Same idea.
Yeah, you get the idea. High levels have been found. Leonard Jenkins of the Oxford men's team told BBC Sport.
Leonard Jenkins.
That's a very British name. He had been vomiting before the race. The Thames Water has said improving river health was a key focus for the company.
Leonard Jenkum.
It's not Leroy Jenkins. I wonder if he's related. All you old school internet nerds, if you don't know who Leroy Jenkins is, you need to go watch some videos.
If you don't know, you're not really a nerd.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm pulling nerd cards on people who don't know Leroy Jenkins.
I mean, if you're like, I don't know, I guess
if you're under, what, 40 maybe?
Gen Z gets a pass. Gen Alpha gets a pass.
I don't know, but there's got to be some age where it's like, okay, you obviously
like they've never don't been know on the internet
of Leroy Jenkins, right?
Okay.
Like, I mean, it is a pretty old video, right? These things tend to get buried. It. The kids don't watch the old stuff. They're like, oh, that's my dad used to watch videos like that, right?
All right.
You know, I'm their dad's age, apparently.
Okay. I'm still pulling cards.
Okay. All right.
Nerds.
I won't stop you from pulling anyone's card if they claim to be a nerd and don't know who Leroy Jenkins
or what he was eating
is.
Do you know the trivia?
I might need to. Might need to get a punch in my nerd card.
Kahuna?
Hang on. I'm thinking about it. It's not a Snickers.
No.
I give up.
Chicken. Because they yelled at him for the thing, and he's like, well, at least I got chicken.
That's true.
Because while they were planning, he got up to go microwave his dinner, which was chicken.
Right, yeah.
And then the dinner was ready to go, and they were still planning, and so he charged, shouting Leroy Jenkins, and gosh darn it, Leroy's like, well, at least I got chicken.
Spoilers. For those who've never seen it. Anyway.
It's a short video.
It is, okay. And it's hilarious, too, and it's still hilarious.
It's the battle cry for any time you're about to do something dumb that nobody else wants you to do.
The
testosterone-fueled nerds everywhere.
Leroy Jenkins. I'm announcing my show notes as I make them tonight, apparently.
At least you're making them tonight.
Yeah, I know, right? Don't have to at the end of the show. What are we talking about?
This is usually a post-show exercise. What's going on here?
I'm trying, man. You know, a man who...
Captain is leveled up in his first chair duties.
Who is... a man who does not attempt to improve himself is not a master of himself.
Okay.
So, something like that. I'm paraphrasing. Or I'm just making crap up. That sounds, you know...
I mean, that's what smart guys do all the time.
Yeah.
But, oh, I was just theorizing.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
At any rate, back to this article about how crappy the Thames water is. Thames Water, the company, or is this a government entity? I'm not sure.
It's Britain. It's probably a government entity.
Oh, it says improving the health of the river was a key focus for the company. So apparently,
put the river on a diet.
Yeah, keto action for the River Thames. On Wednesday, environment agency figures revealed raw sewage spills doubled last year in England to 3.6 million hours of spills. Compared with 1.7 million hours in 2020. Wait.
Why is it measured in hours?
Why is it measured in millions of hours?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, it was 4 hours last year. Like, oh, that seems high. But no, it was 1.75 million hours in 2022 compared to 3.6 million this year.
Okay.
Hours.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, just raw sewage just spilling into the river for that many hours?
I mean, let's see if...
Do they measure time differently in the,
let's see if
in the British Isles?
Let's see if the article gives us any more.
All right.
Within the spills are human waste, wet wipes, and sanitary products, which can pose a serious risk to swimmers.
Yep.
So what, are people in England just flushing their toilets into the river? Is that what's going on?
It's the old Roman way.
I mean, yeah, I guess it is. And England was an empire, much like Rome.
Before indoor plumbing.
Yeah, okay.
You had to go outside and just went wherever the hole was dug.
Flush it down, let God sort it out.
This is where he chooses to sort it.
Apparently.
I'll deal with this river later. How's that Nile coming along?
The River Naga. I'm not going to get clean this year anyway. boat race crews had been given safety advice to avoid swallowing water splashed up from the River Thames. Cambridge, who won both male and female races, was also warned against throwing the cocks into the water, as is tradition. The COX, by the way.
Oh, okay. Is that the trophy?
Oh, yeah, that must be.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not capitalized. No,
that is the person... on the team, that's the person that's yelling at everybody else.
Oh, the guy that doesn't do any work.
He's the director.
So they throw that person into the water
if they win.
Okay. Yeah, that's, it's kind of like dumping.
He's called the cox.
Yeah, it's like COX.
Yeah,
But that's like the equivalent of throwing the Gatorade on the, you know, on the coach? Football and the coach at the end of a football game.
All right.
That's like their version of that.
All right.
So I'm wondering how that guy like picks up chicks at the bar. What do you do? Oh, I'm the Cox.
Prove it.
Like plural?
Yes. Yes, plural.
Did you hear about the man with five penises? His rubber fit like a glove.
Nice. Like a glove.
Speaking to BBC Sport, Mr. Jenkins, not Leroy, said this morning, I was throwing up and I wasn't sure I was going to be able to race. I'm assuming he ingested some of this water somehow.
Did he go drink it the day before? Or is this a different race?
I mean, of course, they rehearse, I assume, the day before.
Is that what it's called?
It would be a lot nicer if there wasn't as much poo in the water, he said. It's not to take away from Cambridge, as we may not have beaten them even if we were all on top form. A second member of the squad said three people had to miss training sessions due to stomach bugs.
Mm.
Why are they drinking the water? I mean, like, man, like... Can't they bring bottled water on the boat with them?
Breathe through your nose.
Maybe what's happening as they're rowing, you know, there's water splashing in. Maybe they breathe it in or something.
We solved this with COVID. Wear a mask, right?
N95.
You put on the blue mask and just comes out brown by the end of the row.
No, you put on like a gas mask.
Okay.
Right? So like the water splashes on it, it just rolls off, but you can still breathe air.
All right.
Right?
So a snorkel with a filter.
Or even one of those, what are they used for? Those, like, the clear visor thing.
Oh,
you
know,
not welders, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
I know, I know what you're saying.
Like, one of them might even
shields.
Help.
The shield,
yeah. Yeah, might help. Maybe a little windshield wiper on it.
Tearaways, like rally drivers.
Yeah.
Oh, I got poop again.
So in a statement, Oxford University Boat Club said... Three members of the OUBC men's blue boat team came down with a stomach bug the week of the boat race, the origin of which we cannot definitively say. These things happen in the final lead-up to the race, including in years we have won, it continued.
So this River Thames thing is an ongoing issue. Like, every year it's just polluted and nasty. And they go like, no, we're going to have the boat race there again.
Yep.
It's part of the tradition.
In Seattle, they have a... they call it the Sound. I mean, it's a body of water.
Okay.
Or a series of bodies of water. Called the Puget Sound.
Yeah.
Okay. Or as we like to call it, the Putrid Sound. Because it also is like, you don't want to go fishing in that thing. Like, people do, but like they throw the fish back or whatever.
Okay.
Like,
fish for sport, not for food.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is sad. You want to fish for food, you actually go out to the ocean. You don't stay within the Sound. Coxswain Will Denigree said that, so that Cox must be short for coxswain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? That must be the full word for
both
the guy.
Both sound dirty.
They do. But both spelled with an X.
Okay.
Right. Coxswain Will Denigree said, whether that's related to E. coli in the river, I don't know, but it's certainly not helped our campaign. It's not an excuse.
Just E. coli from the sorority house the night before.
Or perhaps... F. coli or G. coli. I don't know how
wrong
these lettering things work.
I don't know what Kaplan's going with it, but you got the right idea.
Yeah, I was time traveling in the wrong direction.
Okay.
Testing by campaign body River Action and Fulham Reach Boat Club earlier this month detected high levels of E. coli, which can cause serious infections.
They like shut restaurants down for this.
They do. Right? But the river's fine.
River's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
You do that in a restaurant, you get like sued.
Yeah.
And you go out of business for poisoning your customers.
Like, oh, you got sick for drinking the dirty water in the river? How about you don't boat in it?
Yeah. That would be a start, right? Let's find a clean boat. It's an island, right? This is England,
right?
Yeah. Okay, so they're an island surrounded by water, presumably. Indeed. Last I looked on a map.
It's usually how islands work.
And you can't find a body of water that, like, doesn't have poop in it to go boating?
Yeah, seems interesting.
You set out buoys and anchors, so you, like, plot the course out where there's no poop in the water? Can we do that?
Put up some poop nets?
I mean, Oxford and Cambridge, these are, like, prestigious universities, right?
They do claim to be prestigious.
There's no university money to, like, not have your event in poop water?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
These are good questions.
Someone has to ask them.
The River Action Group, or whatever they are, River Action and Fulham Beach Boat Club. River Action said the testing locations in its research suggested the source of pollution was from Thames water discharging sewage directly into the river and its tributaries. So there we go.
There you go.
The old Roman way.
Yep.
That's exactly what they were doing. The UK has combined sewage systems, which means rain and sewage share the same pipes. So if there's too much rain, sewage treatment works can be overwhelmed. Sewage is then spilled into waterways to prevent the system from backing up.
Okay.
Which, you know, if you get a stomach bug, also prevents you.
So from terrible engineering is what I hear when you say that.
Yeah. Well, okay. They could have just really, like, it didn't have to be several paragraphs. It could have just been bad engineering. Would have been,
Or, you know, I get it. You're an old country, right? But let's modernize some things. Yeah. Let's get some filters. Let's get a bigger tank for the overflow.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Can we catch that somewhere?
A couple of tanks, maybe if you have to. Yeah.
Just because we did it that way last year doesn't mean we can do it this year.
That's the way it's always been done.
It's a taxpayer's expense, and now we got a dilemma on our hands.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want the state to do it, or do you want to just swim in poop water? Like, you got to pick a choice.
Right, because they won't let private industry do anything about it.
Probably not.
Sewage spilling can be legal, but environmentalists say it should only happen in exceptional weather.
Or for only 2 hours.
Instead of, like, was it 100 million hours?
Yeah. No,
we still don't have a definition on what that is. Why? I'm still waiting. Not letting that one go either.
Trying to go 1.75 million hours. That was the low one in 2022.
Okay.
3.6 million hours in 2023. So, industry Body Water UK. Okay. That's another organization, apparently. Cited record levels of rainfall, but called the situation unacceptable.
It does sound unacceptable. Well played.
Yeah. A government spokesperson also said sewage discharged into UK waters was completely unacceptable, and water companies need to clean up their act fast. They went on to say the government is taking...
But not illegal, just unacceptable.
Yes.
Okay.
They went on to say government is taking tough action to hold them to account. With the stringent targets in place and the quadrupling of the water company inspections. Great.
Goes to the fiber of their being. Regulatory agency.
Nothing a regulatory agency loves more than an inspection.
Okay. You know,
they seem to be all about the inspections and that kind of thing. The same thing for, like, tax assessment on your property, right? They send these bastards out. They don't even do it themselves anymore. They hire it out to, like, a third-party company. Who is, like, their only job is to go out and do property inspections?
I did a solar panel install in my house I used to own in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And the guy came out. It was literally the afternoon right before Memorial Day. He came out, came inside the house, didn't even look at the sort of where the inverters were. He kind of, like, glanced up, and then he was in and out like 10 minutes. I said, don't you want to look at the inverters? And he said, oh, well, I gotta get up to... Maine for Memorial Day weekend, so I got to be out of here by like 3:30.
That's a kind of government.
So it was all about him getting on the road, not really looking at the system.
He made a stop in just so he could check.
Yeah, like he could check it that he would actually get there, but not actually like do anything.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I don't want him around.
I mean, I didn't. You know, I was surprised, but not really surprised.
Didn't even
have
to bribe you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
I wish, like, sometimes, like, restaurant people, like, they'll dread the inspector coming in. And then other times, like, the inspector will come in and be gone, just like you're describing. Like, I got to go somewhere else. Yeah, I've been here. That's fine.
I had a restaurant inspector tell me that she was concerned that my piercings would fall off my face and into the food.
Oh.
Even though they're, like, screwed in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never had a fallout problem.
Huh. So what did you say?
I said, it's not going to be a problem. If that's your only complaint, like, I think we pass.
Like, aren't they there to inspect the restaurant, not the employees?
Yeah, whatever.
Right? So you're not part of the restaurant. Yes, you work in the restaurant, but you know, you yourself.
Nope, that was her concern.
Not.
That was her concern.
I'd have been like, you want to check my junk too, lady? Or like, you know, you want to sniff my underarms, you know, see if I've put on some deodorant today?
If you think this is bad, you should see the rat we caught last week.
In a statement issued before the race, Thames Water said,
We have experienced higher than average long-term rainfall across London and the Thames Valley, with groundwater levels exceptionally high for this time of year. The overflows are designed to operate automatically when the sewer network is about to be overwhelmed, which then releases diluted water into the rivers rather than letting it back up into people's homes.
Mm. Okay.
So the state has made it so their two choices are poop in the Thames or poop in
the toilet.
In the toilets, right?
The toilet's where it belongs.
Or coming back up from the toilets.
Okay.
Right, so I'm surprised, like...
How would that cleanup work? Then each homeowner would be responsible for their own cleanup instead of the river, right?
So, yep. Well, if it seems could like it's more equitable. If it could be proven that it was the, we'll call it the government entity in charge of this, I assume they have a monopoly on this and that they're not competing agencies and that they're taking tax money to provide this sewer.
Can we get it to back up only in the castle?
Ooh. Everybody spray foam on your toilet except for... Probably never work.
Probably would work. If you can clog your own toilet, it's not going to back up, right? Water takes the path of least resistance.
Right.
Poop follows.
Mm-hmm. So it goes on to say, we're working hard to make these discharges unnecessary and have published plans to upgrade over 250 of our sites.
It's just the one slum board that doesn't.
There's a lot of vague words in there, and there's no timeline.
Yeah, and like, oh, yeah. We're going to be stern, really.
Yeah, working hard.
We're going to cut it back to 2022 levels, where it was only 1.6 million hours.
1.75 million hours in 2022. 3.6 in 2023. Million hours of spills into this river. Millions of hours.
I want to know what that means. What does that mean?
How many millions of hours are in a year?
Oh, man.
Is there even a million hours? I thought you were a numbers guy.
I am a numbers guy, man.
Well, that's an easy
math. 24 hours a day times 365. There's only 8,760 hours in a year. I mean, you know?
So they're putting...
This is hundreds of thousands of years worth of poop spillage.
3.6 million hours of spills into this river.
That's 183 years.
In 1 year...
So it must be multiple locations.
Yeah, it's
all year long.
Yeah.
Dumping crap into the river, right, to get up to that number of hours.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so don't drink the water of the River Thames, I guess, is the morale.
Just don't go to England.
Of the story. Mm. Especially if you like food.
Or if you're an American, why don't you go back?
Bangers and mash. Is that one of their delicacies?
That's
Bangers and mash? Oh, it's Irish?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The Brits eat bread pudding.
Bread pudding.
Okay. And I will take a full English breakfast, though. I will say that.
Yeah?
That's amazing.
Not just half English?
Nope. Full English breakfast is on the wall.
603-283-6160. We need two people to each buy Richie Rich a half a breakfast, apparently, so we can get the full English breakfast. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. Pope Francis is once again calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and the release of all Israeli hostages. The Pope's renewal for the call came during Sunday's Easter Mass. The Pope speaking about other world events, including Ukraine, Haiti, and other places experiencing destruction. The Vatican saying around 60,000 people came to St. Peter's Square for Sunday's Mass. Recovery efforts are ongoing following the deadly collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore last week. Maryland Democratic Governor Wes Moore joins Fox News Sunday to provide an update.
The thing that we know is there will be an ongoing investigation. There needs to be an ongoing investigation as to what happened. I want that investigation to be speedy and for anyone who needs to be held accountable to be held accountable. And at the same time, we have got to get this channel opened. We have got to get commerce flowing again, and we have got to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
This is USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yes, we are back. It is Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Kahuna.
And Richie Rich.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear, like t-shirts and hoodies, are available at libertyminded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. Go get you some clothing, that is, in case you're running around without any. Or don't. Be cool. Well, it's fine.
I finally bought some new t-shirts because I went to like the WWE show last night in Manchester.
You went?
Yeah.
How was it?
It's fun.
Yeah? All right. I mean, when I was a kid, I went to one, and it was pre-WrestleMania, so it wasn't even that cool, right? It didn't have all the, entrance music and
stuff. This was, the road to WrestleMania, because WrestleMania's next week, Saturday.
Okay. All right.
And Sunday.
But, when you go as a kid, sometimes you go, and you might see the exact same type of production, but, you're older, and you might not be,
I mean, it's a house show, so the production value was not at the level of the TV show or WrestleMania, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I had fun.
Okay.
I mean, Ticketmasters is a problem.
Ticketbastard.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody mispronounces the B in Ticketbastard. Yeah.
Mm. So, two $30 tickets after their fees was like $94.
Yeah. I hate those guys. We got around it for a while in the Seattle area because the independents could use brown paper tickets.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Yeah. There was another sort of same kind of service where you could sell your own tickets and, you know, they didn't rape you.
It's also been so, it's also been so long that I've been that I went like to the souvenir stand to like get a couple of t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I made sure I had cash with me. Yeah. You know, they don't take cash anymore.
No, nope. Cashless. Nope.
Cashless.
Yep. This venue is cashless.
Yeah.
It's one thing I love about heavy metal shows, man. The merch table always takes cash.
Yeah. No merch table, no cash.
Wow.
Card only.
Yeah, Saratoga started doing that. I don't know, 3-4 years ago. Wow. You know, as soon as you walk in, there's a sign just like that. It's got a big red X through like a FRN.
Yeah,
you know. So
I mean, I'm all for that kind of sign.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yes.
Screw your dollars, but like not at the expense of cash.
Do you think? Do you think there's any like line etiquette at the merch table?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, not so much.
Yes and no. I mean, there's shows I've been to. There's always like 12 lines. Okay. So the creation of those lines, I think there's chaos.
They form organically.
Yeah, but then I think once you're in there, there is etiquette.
And usually they form to the number of people on the other side of said merch table. So if there's one person on the merch table, just one line. If there's two people, then there might be two lines, particularly as if there's a larger line behind, as it gets closer to the table, two lines, separate lines will form.
I feel like when I went there, you know, I don't believe in the etiquette because how many times that I've done this. Right, but there was two lines converging from
Richie
either side.
Richie starts crashing through, elbowing people.
I didn't
crash.
No, I didn't even have
he
to.
He starts a mosh pit on his way to the WWE table.
There's like
table.
There's two lines forming on either side toward the table, but the middle was wide open.
He gives the old man in front
of
him.
So I just walked up to the table.
Trying to write a check.
Yeah, I mean, if
he gives him a suplex.
If there's no clearly defined line,
No, it was a clearly defined line, but it was coming from either side, and the middle of the merch table was like nobody's there.
Okay. All right.
I mean, not nobody, but there was like, you know, two or three people like standing at the table, and I just went to behind them.
So did anybody say anything to your colleague Skipper?
No.
And then did you get your merchandise?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's what I'm saying. But I felt bad for half a second, you know, for the people queuing. Like, don't you know how this works? You just walk up to the table.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't say anything to them either. I just went, oh, they're stupid. I'm going to go get my stuff quicker.
All right. Fair. Well, there we go.
Right. But I just wanted to see, like, what your thoughts were. You go to more shows than I do, Kevin, because that's one in a rare
one. Like, apparently I'm too old now because, like, I saw Slayer's one of the last shows where they had the actual original four members, right? Jeff Hanneman and Dave Lombardo. There's some Slayer reunion shows coming up because they like broke up. Kerry King formed his own band, and then apparently they announced the Slayer reunion shows. They're only playing a couple of like big festivals and stuff like that. So, but if you're telling me that I can't use cash to buy my Slayer T-shirt, I don't know. Am I ever going to go again?
It might be a different venue. I don't know. But this one was cashless, and I was like, oh man. Did not need to bring cash at all.
Think you could have brought Goldbacks, maybe?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. It's a chore to get normal places to take Goldbacks, let alone like the guy at the merch counter.
It really is a chore, too.
Should try it sometime, though. Be fun.
If I had Goldbacks on me, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't carry them to like a concert, maybe. I mean, maybe a couple of them in my pocket if I bump into somebody or I want to, like, after the show, you go get something to eat at like a late night place or whatever. You might want to, like, you know, leave one for a tip. But, like, I'm not going to carry a wad of them to a concert because, like, I'm likely to, like, get drunk and, like, somebody's going to throw me into the mosh pit or something.
Yeah, you might lose it.
In the mosh pit, you lose things. Like, people have lost wallets and, you know, jewelry and all that kind
especially
of stuff.
Especially at the rate Goldbacks have been going up, man.
But if you go to the merch counter, and you hand them a Goldback, there's going to be a discussion, and you're just holding up the
They're probably going to give you the one-finger salute.
Yeah. Maybe. Unless they're smart.
Yeah. But yeah, they should be happy.
They should be.
Not happy.
Hoppy.
somebody out there right now is inventing or has already invented an extra hoppy beer specifically for Easter.
Samuel Adams.
Somebody. Some
micro brew in Oregon.
Yeah, or, you know, heck, even here in New England for that matter.
Do they have a lot of micro brews here? Is it micro brew friendly?
There's a ton.
Okay.
And in fact, New Hampshire I've looked into this because I thought about starting something, you know, Kick-Ass Brewing or something. I don't know. I've looked into it. It was actually some Free Staters. And I'm
the labeling requirements?
I'm trying to remember the dude's name. No, they actually got a thing passed that it used to be if you wanted to just start brewing beer, like in your own garage, for example, or if you had a barn or something like that, you had space, right, that you weren't allowed to sell it. Okay. You're allowed to brew it and drink it for your own consumption and, like, give it away or whatever as presents, that kind of stuff. But you weren't allowed to sell it. And so these couple of Free Staters, they were trying to start their own microbrew, and that's how they started. So they started brewing their own in a space, and they got, like, you know, into trouble with the law or whatever. Well, they ended up getting something passed. So now New Hampshire allows something called nano breweries.
Oh.
And this gives you the ability to brew, I think it's up to, and this is, go look it up for yourself, don't take my word for this, but up to 300 gallons per year that you can also sell.
Okay.
If you're going to sell them, you can only give either a taste or one beer, unless, of course, you have a restaurant. Okay. And in order to qualify to have a restaurant, you can have something like a food truck just sort of pull up into your space, and that can qualify as a restaurant, in which case then you can serve everybody up to two beers each.
Two beers. Yeah.
So it's a bit limited, but like people can buy growlers and cans to go, bottles to go, that kind of stuff when they come. So if you have food and you have beer, you can do like a flight of tasters, that kind of stuff. It's the ounceage that they don't.
Can you franchise it out? Can you start two LLCs?
Yeah, I don't know. What I was trying to find was a microbrew that is, shall we say, overbuilt, right? Okay. Like they have more room to brew than they actually sell, right? They have bigger equipment and, you know, that kind of stuff.
And rent some of their equipment.
Or can you brew this recipe specifically for me, and then I'll take it and do the canning and the.
You could just be kick-ass kind of bottling stuff. Then. Just bottle for all the micro nano brews.
Well, it turns out that nearly, and I haven't talked to anyone that had said the opposite of this, so it's anecdotal, but still. And even like, I got a friend of mine back in Wisconsin who runs a microbrew. I talked to him. One of my friends back in Seattle worked at one of the bigger microbrews out there. I talked to him, as well as some people here in New Hampshire. And every one of them says the biggest mistake we made starting out was, we didn't think big enough. Like, they all were able to brew whatever they wanted to brew and sell it all.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, crap, we should have gone bigger. So there were no places, like, with meeting my capacity. Criteria, right? No excess capacity. So if I wanted to do, like, a white label situation, I'd have had to pay a premium for them to interrupt their normal brewing cycle to brew something for me. And so I'm like, okay, I guess if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to DIY. Right. And
I'm suggesting DIY is build it bigger so that other people who also want to do what you're doing can come to you for the excess space.
Yeah. I've looked into it's not the University of New Hampshire. It's not in Manchester, but they do
SNHU, Southern New Hampshire.
Yeah, maybe it is. Okay. They do microbrew courses you can take. It's like a couple of days a week for like 6 weeks, and you get to meet like a bunch of the microbrew people, you know, in New Hampshire and that kind of stuff, and, you know, figure out what you want to do. You want to do nano brew? Do you want to do microbrew? Do you want to do a tavern? Do you want to get your liquor license? Do you want to do full restaurant? You know, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Are you looking to like take the courses or just network with the people?
I looked into it, right? I just know that these things exist. I've taken no action on any of it since then. And it's been over a year since I've really thought about it.
Well, I mean, if you know what you're doing, do you really need to take a course?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've never brewed a damn thing.
Okay.
Well, that's not true. I have. I've helped my friend Chris brew some homebrew.
Okay.
I used to have one of these. It's a carboy, if that's how you pronounce it. You basically just buy grape juice with real sugar.
Okay.
Right? And add a packet of yeast to it.
And let it ferment.
Screw one of these carboys. It's the breather. So, like, as it, you know, ferments and, you know, it produces gas, it releases the gas so your bottle doesn't explode.
Okay.
But you let that sit for X. Then you filter it, right? Because you don't want to be drinking all the, you know, stuff. And then you basically have, a poor man's wine.
Okay.
Right? So it's technically brewing. So, to some extent. And, like, brewing beer isn't necessarily that difficult. There's like, but you have to be a brewmaster to like get it right all of the time. You want a consistent product, right? You know, you. So, like, if I were going to do something like this, I would probably hire a guy, consultant.
Okay.
You know what I mean? To like, I'd probably go take the courses, meet some people, figure out who the guy is I want to hire, you know, to come and consult and help me brew the recipes I want to brew.
Or start small and figure out, you know, your recipe and your flavors first and then grow when you're...
I have at least one recipe.
Okay.
I may have two. But, like...
Coffee-flavored beer.
It's kind of tabled for me right now. I've kind of...
All right.
My enthusiasm for becoming a brewmaster and opening a nano brew business or even a micro brew business has sort of just waned, and like it was largely because of COVID, right? Like that just put a kibosh on my desire to do anything, like
become a barbecue pit master at the same time.
That was kind of the idea. Okay. Right? It was like, you know, barbecue and beer. Well, now there's a couple of barbecue joints around town, and they both serve beer. So, like, niche.
I'll just be a customer.
It's been filled. What were we talking about?
This.
Oh, yeah. How did we get onto this?
We didn't get back into the River Thames.
Did we say who we are and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Hopefully, because it's been like 20 minutes.
Yeah. No, we got. You can give out the number again if you want.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
It's on the screen. People who are over at watch.freetalklive.com, they can see it.
Okay. But people who are listening to the radio, those just don't.
Oh, yeah, it's 603. Okay. Fine, Richie. Jeez, man. Why don't you give out the number?
603-283-6160.
Very well. Right. You've passed the test.
Well, now I got to repeat it.
No, I don't.
Okay.
603-283-6160.
See that? Just a point. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got it.
Jumps to attention. Ha! I know the number.
We should probably talk about something. How about... I wanted to talk to you specifically, Rich, about this one.
Uh-oh, okay.
Because it is based in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Also known as Hawaii.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't understand my particular lisp. This is from KOLD.com. Is it really cold? It's the Hawaii... No, it can't be from Hawaii, is it? Tucson.
Tucson.
KOLD is in Tucson. That's ironic. The headline reads, property owner stunned after $500,000 house built on the wrong lot. Quote, are you kidding me? Unquote.
Yep.
A construction company has repeatedly, that'd be even worse. A construction company has reportedly built a $500,000 house on the wrong property. Hawaii News Now reports that the lot owner doesn't want the house and has endured problems like higher taxes and squatters.
Yeah.
Now, to add insult to injury, she's being sued over someone else's mistake.
That's the most bizarre part about this.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. She is the victim of all of this.
Right.
And they're suing her.
Right.
And, well, I mean, you're going to get into it, but the reason they're suing her is because there's so many involved parties that aren't taking responsibility.
Right.
They're like, we're just going to sue everybody and let the courts figure this out.
Yep. And like, you live in bizarro world. This is not fiction. This is not a satire site. And this has been reported on, you know, multiple, I don't want to call them reputable news agencies, but for the most part. The still vacant 3-bedroom, 2-bath house on a 1-acre lot in, how do you say, Puna?
Puna.
Puna. Puna's Hawaiian Paradise Park is worth about $500,000, but it could cost a lot of people more than that as they head to court to sort it out.
It doesn't need to be sorted out.
No.
There's nothing that needs to be sorted out.
Tear down the house, build a new one on the other lot, let the lady have her plot of land back that you basically built upon without her permission.
The developer who commissioned the builders to build the house, right, is at fault.
Right.
Right, and so you pay the money to have those same builders destroy and get your garbage off this lady's lot.
Yeah,
like that's if the court says anything other than that, it's a travesty of justice.
Oh, definitely, and it may be depending on how it turns out. It all started in 2018 when Ann Reynolds thought she'd found the perfect serene parcel in Paradise Park to host her meditative healing women's retreats. There's a sacredness to it, and the one I chose to buy had all the right qualities, she said. The price was also right, available in a county tax auction for about $22,500. So, wow. 2018.
That's it. Yeah.
And I will also point out, likely undeveloped, right? So this was just a parcel, right, of which she was able to take ownership of without mowing the grass.
Right. But while she waited in California through the pandemic for the right time to use it, the lot was bulldozed and a house was built on the property.
So someone not the property owner...
trespassed.
Well, mixed their labor with the land.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And then now who owns it?
Well, that's not how law works in Hawaii anyway.
Well, good. That would be foolish if all you had to do was build a house on someone else's land and claim you mixed your labor with it and therefore then own it.
They own the house, yeah. She was unaware of the construction until she got a call last year from a real estate broker who had learned of the mistake. So, yeah. Company didn't come up and be like, oh, man, we screwed up. We built the house on the wrong. Yeah. They didn't say anything. It was a real estate broker.
The real estate broker was trying to, like, sell the house. Like, hey, I sold the house.
Yep.
But it's not, it's on your land, and I can't really do anything beyond that now.
This next sentence says, he told me I just sold the house.
Yeah.
And it happens to be on your property, so we need to resolve this, Reynolds said. And I was like, what? You're kidding me. PJ's Construction was reportedly hired by developer Kiao Development Partnership.
How do you even sell the house without the permission of the property owner? Hey, it's on your property. I already sold it. So, you know, you're going to have to do something, lady.
Yeah, I'm trying to,
I'm not responsible for that.
I'm trying to think how this may have come to light. Did they have surveyors come out or something, or a title company?
That would have been a smart move.
Yeah.
Or, you know, check the markings of the lot or, you know, that kind of a thing. If there were any spikes or
reading. They avoided that. They didn't. They negated to take the responsibility of having a survey.
There you go. There you go.
Way to spoil the article, Richie.
I'm sorry. You asked a question. It's in the article.
I'm just asking.
We're going to read it again anyway.
Well, go for it.
Those in the back who weren't paying attention.
Nerds.
PJ's Construction was reportedly hired by Kiao Development Partnership to build about a dozen homes on properties that developers bought in that same subdivision where the lots are identified by telephone poles. An attorney for PJ's Construction said the developers didn't want to hire surveyors.
So there you go.
Therein lies the rub.
The developers didn't want to do their frickin' job.
Yeah. So you're responsible.
Didn't want to spend the extra bucks. Honolulu attorney James DePasquale was hired by Reynolds when she was sued along with everyone associated with the property or construction. That's like, isn't that the definition of frivolous lawsuits? Like, I don't know who did what. I'm just going to sue everybody.
Yeah.
Right? That seems frivolous to me.
Seems like they're going to set themselves up for a countersuit. And if all goes well, she'll end up with a lot more than just the lot.
Many countersuits, right? Because if the developer sues everybody involved, then everybody involved is going to file a counterclaim, you would think.
You would hope.
There's a lot of fingers being pointed between the developer and the contractor and some subs, DePasquale said. But it can't be sold. The house has become a nightmare for Reynolds. A neighbor told Hawaii News, now that squatters were immediately attracted to the brand new vacant house.
And you know how hard those are getting to get rid of.
Yep.
Before they put the fence on the property, there were people coming and looking inside, he said. Reynolds said she discovered they'd done more than just look as she found feces inside the house when checking the property. Story. Double flush production.
Double flush, yeah.
It was so disgusting, she said. Along with the cost of fencing, Reynolds said that she's paying property taxes that went from a few hundred to several thousand dollars, none of which she should be liable for.
Right. No. This is the developer.
Yeah.
This is what she ought to be suing the developer for.
One of the many things
absolutely.
The developers have tried to settle the issue. Reynolds' attorney said they offered to swap her their lot right next door or sell her the house at a discount. No.
She had the option to buy the lot next door likely when all of this was going down, and she went, nope, I like this one.
Right.
This is mine.
She just wanted the land.
She just wanted the land, right.
Yeah.
And so now that the land has been improved, the assessor has come around and raised the taxes on the land, so all through no fault of her own.
Nope.
right? The assessor just went, oh, there's a house here now.
Tax.
Right? You know? Instead of having, you know, a low tax because it was undeveloped land. It would set a dangerous precedent if you could go into someone else's land, build anything you want, and then sue that individual for the value of it, D. Pascal said.
It would be, wouldn't it? Mixing your labor with someone else's land? Trying to claim ownership over it in such a manner? How ridiculous.
After trying to resolve the problem, Keogh Development Partnership sued PJ's Construction, the architect, the prior property owner's family, and the county, which approved the permits. So there's a county at fault here as well for approving the permit to build on not this person or not their this developer's lot.
Lazy inspector, rubber stamping stuff. Yep. Generally, you would like that.
Probably to take a road trip on a holiday weekend.
They also sued Reynolds.
Yeah. What does the prior owner have anything to do with this either? Right? How are they roped up into this at all?
I don't know.
Bro, I sold the property. It's not mine anymore.
Right.
Like, leave me alone.
Maybe it was the address was like 709 and like the 9 on the light pole had flipped over 706 or whatever. Like,
that should still be across the street.
Oh, yeah. I make that joke about Iron Maiden's 666, the number of the beast. Mm. It's a lyric in one of their songs. My parody is, of course, 668, the neighbor of the beast. 667 is the guy across the street.
Nice.
She said, it's awful. It's just awful. Representatives of the developers and construction company and Reynolds all said that they are being reasonable and the others are not. That's why the developer says they have pulled everyone into the lawsuit in hopes a judge can help unravel this $500,000 mistake.
The only person being unreasonable is the developer. Tear it down at your expense.
Yeah.
Return the property to how it was prior to make her whole again and move on with whatever projects you have going on around her.
Yeah.
But they don't want to eat the cost for their own mistake.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's my understanding that if you're a developer, you're carrying some sort of insurance.
Yep.
And you, you would think that something like this would be covered.
Maybe. This is negligence. Mm-hmm. Insurance doesn't always cover negligence.
603-283-6160. Let us know your thoughts on the matter or bring up whatever's on your mind. We've got more Free Talk Live coming up for you, including a basketball team being mistaken for invaders.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.